So yesterday, we had not one, but two weddings in this chapel. It was wonderful. In fact, we have like one, like the whole fan family is here, all right, including two newlyweds. So Daniel, Kayla, stand up and give it up for... And of course, those celebrations and the one yesterday was just so beautiful, such a wonderful thing to witness. And witness was the right word. This was awesome. I didn't know you guys were coming, so it's great to have you here. Kayla, just this radiant, beautiful bride, right, who was just holding her man together. Because Daniel... this was so awesome, and this is, I want to say something about this. He was so moved. I mean, he was just crying the whole time, and that is such a good thing. That is such a strong thing. That's a sign of a strong man's heart, to be moved to tears because of the gift of God and the gift of his wife and love, and so that was really wonderful. And Daniel's got a good brother-in-law who, before he left, was like, yeah, I'm going to bring some Kleenexes. So I was witnessing the whole thing, like just watching brother-in-law like hand send another one down. It was great. And of course, weddings are so wonderful in the sense of what they celebrate, such love, such trust, such joy, such hope, right? So beautiful to live in that. So I witnessed that, and I walked away going, that was really, really wonderful. It was wonderful to witness and to see that gift being given from one heart to another in the presence of God and in his church. Then between the ceremony and the reception, I happened to turn on the TV. And I checked the news. And I saw what was going on in the nation. And it's everything that is the opposite of what a good wedding is. Very little love, very little trust, very little hope, very little joy. And I think those two things come together tonight. And I want to take a little time to talk about that. Because we live in a world, right? And politics aside, and believe me, there is more than enough blame to go on either side, and wherever you fall, politics aside, I think that what we all witnessed as a nation has sullied our collective humanity. And, my friends, Orthodox Christianity, authentic Christianity, is a great defender of humanity. So whenever humanity is threatened or degraded, the church has something to say. Our faith has something to say. These readings tonight have something to say about who we are and what we're made for. Now, granted, the first reading and the gospel speak about marriage, and that's an awesome blessing. But they also, through that lens of marriage, reveal what we're made for, how we're made. And this is a theological anthropology, who the human person is in the light of who God is. We're made for communion. We're made for real relationship. We're made to live in harmony with others. Marriage is a high point of that. But that is not the only place that that should happen. Our whole existence is to live in harmony with others. But that is not what we're seeing. And so what would the church say about this? Well, apart from the specifics, right? Because the specifics have to get worked out. And reasonable people can disagree on certain things. The church takes a much bigger glance. And I would offer this, at least as a start. Ubi divisio, ibi peccatum. Early church fathers. Where there is division, there is sin. Where there is division, there is sin. Well, friends, our world and our nation and even our church is so divided. And there is sin in that. That is not how we were created to be. That's not how this country was founded to be either. However, none of that is surprising to me. Because we are all sinful people. And whether we like to acknowledge that or not, sin divides. It's a law of spiritual physics. Sin divides us internally, and by all means it divides us externally. By all means. And so we should look as Christians to say where there is division, there is sin. That's the reality that our country's living through right now. And my friends, as we get more and more secular in our country, the ability to overcome that division grows weaker and weaker and weaker. And what were once gaps have a temptation and a tendency and a propensity to become chasms. And none of that is good. And that's a question that we need to engage and wrestle with as a faith community because we live in this world. We don't just live in the church. The church is sent out into the world. The division caused by sin is very real. But my friends, we are not people of despair. In fact, we're people of great, great, and powerful and profound hope. Because that division that is caused by sin is precisely what Jesus came to address. It's exactly what he came to address. The internal division in our hearts, and then the external division that exists in all of our relationships. In families, in friends, in towns, in cities, in nations, in the world. Jesus came to address all of the division. He didn't leave a stone unturned. He spoke to it all, precisely through the power of his love. You see, as you watch the things in the nation play out, and of course those things don't just stay far away on the East Coast. Those things are here. They're here in this church, in people's hearts. They are definitely going to be discussed on this campus tomorrow. The question becomes, will we be people who further division, or will we be people who further unity? And that's a great question for us to all engage. You know who's laughing at all of what has happened in the last 3 or 4 weeks is the evil one. In the New Testament, the devil, the Greek word is diabolos. That word literally means to throw apart. Scatterer is it sometimes translated. That's what he wants to do. He wants to do that in your heart. He wants to do that in your relationships. He wants to do that in our church. He wants to do that in our nation. That's his MO entirely. But Jesus is the one who gathers. He goes into the scattered tribes of Israel and he begins to bring them home. And he wants to bring us home. Now, why is that relevant? Well, my friends, what world do you want to live in? What world do you want to raise kids in? Is it this one? Or do you want to see a better world? If you want to see a better world, and I hope you do, then what we do tonight should be of supreme importance to you. Because we're not here just to play games. The liturgy is not just some nice religious ritual that we engage in to make us feel good about ourselves. But there is real power in what happens here at Mass tonight. Power to change our hearts. Power to change our lives. Power to cast out sin, power to bring grace into us, power to heal divisions, first within me and within you, and then within our families, and then within the world. Power to change division into unity. That is exactly what the Lord wants to accomplish. That's why what we do tonight is so supremely important. This world needs communion, union with. But as the good theologian Dr. Brant Petrie said, in a world gone wrong, there can be no communion without sacrifice. Listen to that again. In a world gone wrong, there can be no communion without sacrifice. Well, see, friends, the world has gone wrong, first in my heart and in yours. We have to own that. We have to be so real about that. Yet, there is communion possible through him, with him, and in him. Because of the sacrifice that Jesus makes, because of who he is, his sacrifice, which is represented on this altar, that's why what we're doing has power, by the way. The power of Calvary comes down upon that altar. And that changes lives if we open our hearts to that reality. What Jesus did on the cross, reconciling the world to himself, saving all of humanity, whether you are on the left or on the right, saving all of humanity, that power is re-presented. Not represented, re-presented, made present again in the sacrifice of the Mass. And it is called the sacrifice of the Mass. Jesus, who once offered his body on the cross, gives his body yet again in a non-bloody way, in a sacramental way, but in a real way to us as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins and hence the divisions of the world. He pours out his blood, the unblemished lamb, whose blood washes away sin. And that is where the power is, friends. See, the power isn't in protests or procedures, maneuvering and political power and operatives. The power is in Jesus, in his precious blood, in his most holy name. And the gift of the Eucharist, that's where the power to change the world is found. And we've forgotten that. Maybe as a church, maybe as a nation. Maybe you, maybe me. Well, let's remember. His sacrifice is more than enough. But his sacrifice will have no power in our lives if you and I are not willing to sacrifice. Because in a world gone wrong, there can be no communion without sacrifice. And so the church in her wisdom recognizes that. And in fact, in the liturgy, you hear these very words. Pray, my brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Almighty Father. Recognize those words? My sacrifice and yours. You see, we place everything upon this altar, not a table, an altar, because an altar is the place where sacrifice is made. And in that willingness to sacrifice, our hearts are opened. The hardness of heart that Jesus speaks of in the gospel begins to be cast out. Our hearts are restored to the way we were created to be, made for love, made for communion, made for relationship, first with God, then with our family, then with our fellow men and women, throughout the whole world. That is what God wants to accomplish in your life and in mine. Now, in the days to come, I am sure on this campus there will be lots of conversation. I am also willing to bet that there will be more heat than light in those conversations. I want you to pray about what you bring. Will you bring heat or will you bring light? In 1907, preacher W.L. Watkinson wrote, "It is far better to light the candle than to curse the darkness." Going back a little earlier, the Apostle John in the first century wrote, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it." And as Jesus himself says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." My friends, we are the church. The church is sent into the world. Bring light to this world. Bring his light. Bring the one who is the light of the world.